You can handle the heat. Yeah. You can handle the heat.
Booyah, Kashal. Welcome back to the episode of Can't Handle the Heat. It's your boy, G Swift. Now I'm actually in Chaumont, France. But due to some technical difficulties, we had to make do setup, which is why me and Joe are literally in two separate rooms right now. Also in Chaumont, France, the Joe Worsley, and all the way back home in Los Angeles, Hermosa Beach, California, Micah Maha. Boys, how we doing?
We're missing Jakey.
Yeah. Also, for those of you wondering who Jake is, this was kind of a make do because at this time of year, Micah is going to be back at home, so he has a lot to do. Joe has some stuff to tie up, and I'm with him for now, so it's like, let's just do it now. Unfortunately, Jake has a barber to get his mullet and Letty looking nice and good for the summer.
Scares has too many chicks to get ready for, man.
Dude, I will say, anytime I see pictures of Jake, it's always with like three or four chicks. Every time.
We send them to each other all the time.
That's so true.
But good for him. Good for him. But today, we are officially all three now done with our seasons. The ups, the downs of playoffs. Some ups for some of us. The other two, downs. But first things first, congratulations, Micah. You won the Turkish League and, well, earlier the Turkish Cup. First as a member to win his league. That is super sick, man. Congrats, brother.
Thanks, boys. Thank you.
We gained Bulgaria? Oh, no. You guys didn't win Bulgaria.
No, we got third.
Oh, no.
We got third. And then also, third. Micah, you also got MVP of the match or the final match. And
No. MVP just like league. Setter. I don't know if it's setter of the season or setter of the – I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Setter of the playoffs, but the playoffs aren't very long. I was a little confused.
Okay. Well, either way, very, very sick. Micah, before we move on to Joe, I have kind of a recap of my season. I want you to talk about what happened at the end, who you played at the end, just kind of give a breakdown of people and like how the whole season went and what you learned. Some cool moments.
Yeah, I actually was like took a little bit of time on my flight home to like try and journal for like 30 minutes and like reflect on what like the season, what I learned. It was not flowing. It was pretty difficult to even like get words down, which is a little strange. But we played Fenerbahce in the final. They're a big soccer club. They've got their foreigners are Lubric from Serbia, who's played in Russia for a while. And the other foreigner is Dick Coy from the Netherlands, but also with an Italian passport. He's played all over. And then also Penchev. He ended up being on the court at the end there, but they don't use him as much. And we played really well. We beat them 3-0 in a best of five series. And they had beaten Zerat, knocked Zerat out. So yeah, we played them. And then we also played them in the semifinal of the cup and played Arcus in the cup. I think we've also gone over that. And Zerat got knocked out by Arcus. But overall, good end of the year. It was definitely some rough moments throughout the year. Definitely my most difficult season, which is interesting. But definitely the hardest season I've been in overseas for sure. And some things that I've learned. I think the biggest takeaway I had at the end was like, and this isn't really that great to say, but just kind of to just trust yourself and not really listen to anyone as the setter. Joe's always been better at doing that than me, which I think also helps him play with like a certain decisiveness and like nobody questions what he does. And so just trying to get over that hump and become kind of the floor general was kind of the main thing I learned this season.
Was there like an exact moment that you realized you're like, okay, like, or
can, there was. But I don't even know what it was. It was literally one day and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do whatever the hell I want. Like, I'm not gonna listen to anyone today. And I just played really well, and I ended up going to dinner with Nimir, and I told Nimir, bro, I'm freaking just gonna do whatever I want, don't talk to me. And I just straight up told him, don't tell me what to do. And he's like, whoa, dude, I've been waiting for this, which was like a surprise to me. Like, I thought he was going to say, dude, what are you talking about? But he's like, dude, I've been waiting for you to freaking take that step. That's a big step to take. And yeah, after that, I just didn't hold my, a lot of times I kind of hold my tongue and like, don't really, I'm kind of like taking a back seat, especially when you have guys like Ingepeth and Ymir. You kind of are just in the back, like, all right, just follow your lead, but kind of putting my foot down on some things, being a lot more vocal in a lot of, in a lot more situations, and being more demanding of my teammates, I think, is the general lesson.
Yeah. And then how is it, like, I mean, you're dealing with, like, millions of dollars on the floor with you and both hitters, and obviously when that comes with, like, a lot of egos, for better or for worse. So how was it like, was that insanely important in developing that attitude?
It probably helped push me to a level where I was like, I'm just going to just do me. But to be super fair and honest, my two all-stars, as all-stars they are, pretty chill. Like, I love playing with both of them on the court. And they're competitors, so like, and they... They're a little European and inflated Italy for a while where like you're gonna get reactions out of people. But like I feel like all of us have been overseas long enough where we're starting to get used to that. And it doesn't throw us off like it did maybe your first year where you're like, whoa. Like, cause it's so new. Now it's just like that's just what people do and that's just how people are. They're just dramatic in Europe. But they were great to play with pretty much all year. And it was nice to play with them, to be able to learn things and also to have to like step up with such big people on your team. It's like, if you can do it with them, then you can do it anywhere, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Got you. And then we're going to go to Joe here.
I'm interested. I want to hear from Joe.
And then we can wrap some stuff up. All right. Joe just ended literally a few days ago. Joe.
Yeah.
You can find the ending.
Are we talking about yours? Did we already talk about yours? Sort of. I guess we did.
Well, I can recap it really quick. So it's better to end on Joe. What happened with me? I ended about 2 weeks. I've been on vacation for like 3 weeks, actually. We got absolutely demolished by Berlin in the semi. Well, they're not. We had 3-0 in a 5 series. And they were close. First two pretty much were the close matches. But yeah, we just got what's it called? They were just better than us. At the end of the day, they were playing better than us, too. And yeah, we lost, and then like I said, had a good international one. We got CB finals, did decent, could have done better in Champions League, but you know, experience, got some wins there, and then got the CB finals, insane experience, very proud of that. And then also, finished fourth in Bundesliga, very underwhelming, but that is how it is. But yeah, that's how I finished, and now Joey, and then that's why I'm here and able to come to Chamonix, France, to visit my brother.
Not because the city's very nice. Is not that nice of a city. As Gage said, we just finished up 2-3 days ago. I think I've talked like to minimal people about this. I haven't talked too much. I've been with Gage the whole time, really, since that. I told like, man, another, it was like, I told a couple people another season, like another disappointing season for me. To be honest, is one of the most disappointing years in how I felt in my career, I would say, of how everything turned out. And I was telling my dad this. I'm like, really, like, at the end of the day, you prepare 8 months, 8.5 months, really, for what happens in 1 to 2 weeks at the end of the year. And how you end that, like, it was a complete meltdown by us. There's no other way for me to really put it besides that, like, just completely. In a lot of so many different facets, just we're not ready, underprepared. There's a lot of elements that went into it and just like didn't take advantage of opportunities that we were given like time and time again, and just not ready to play when we needed to. And that's just being me really, really honest with it. And it's really, really disappointing because I've been on teams where it's close, like here and there, or maybe you're not really favored to win and you don't win. It's like, okay, like, yeah, we had our chances and we just didn't. But on a team where you've been so dominant all season, for me, clearly the best team, have the best players. I mean, for crying out loud, like statistically, like performance wise, like everybody recognized different players on our team as the top players in their position across in the league. And with all that, with that, and just, you know, playing, we played our rivals who just have the experience. They signed on a player late in season that really, I think, changed their confidence. Like you could tell just how much he changed their, like their swagger and stuff on the court, and something that it seemed like our team was scared a little bit of. And that was frustrating to see from at times. So that's just like being honest, like us as a group, like really have to like take 3-4 months here to get over it and get back. And like, there's things that we have to discuss heading into next year, because we have a lot of guys returning.
Because could I ask some of those things, like how Gage kind of said, what are those things that kind of stand out to you?
In terms of, sorry, referring to
what? Like bring up for next year.
What was it about, what was the difference in Chile's, like the mindset? Because it really was the whole playoff. Like against Paris, we played well, but it wasn't like we were playing at the same level. Like it was a whole playoff. Like there was just a different energy you could sense on the court with our team.
And that was a quarterfinals, Joe? Explain really quick.
That was the quarterfinals. So the quarterfinals, we played Paris, 1-3-0. But I never felt like it was like our best volleyball. And for me, I mean, there's a lot of things that like go into it of why I feel that way. I think some of it I keep within our team.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I think you just watch it, just like, it was like a meltdown almost, like with our team. Like how do we go and lose at home with home court advantage, and then go like just every, like in tour, we were playing better than them for, I mean, you just go through the statistics too. It's like, we're better than them in so many different areas. It's like, how do you lose these sets when you're out hitting them by, you know, 15%? Just, we couldn't serve the ball in the court. We had 33 service errors the first match. 33 service errors. We gave them more than a whole set. It's like, that's just like mentally not being there, not like even recognizing when the ball's in play, we're better than this team. Like, we're playing better than this team. And it's just like stuff like that where we're just like, that's stuff you have to be able to adjust to and make adjustments in playoffs to be able to win those types of games. And understanding, like, some of our guys lost confidence. Like, there's all these things that went into it. It's like, why did this happen? And I think where you look at it, it really comes down to like experience, and how do we use this experience to make sure next year something like this doesn't happen again, where we dominate like all season and then end up just getting trounced by this team in the semifinal that we are still, I believe, the better team. But it was just, it's the little things in the playoffs that separate, you know, a win from a loss. So it's like really hard to swallow. I'll be honest. Like, it's going to be really frustrating. It's hard after these, like, I just want to get out of here so fast. Like, I'm not a person likes to hang around and see people and, I just want to get out. That's not how I am. I don't know. It's just me. Like, it's kind of like more of a personal thing, and it's nothing like against anybody. It's just like how I handle things a little bit, like that. But we didn't deserve to win. That was another thing I told Gage directly after the match. I wasn't like really sad and upset. I'm like, we didn't deserve to win. I'm not gonna sit here and like, you know, be like really like down and all this. I'm like, I was more pissed off than anything. And when that's the case, I'm like, dude, we did not deserve to win. We did not show up when we needed to show up. We didn't. I always say too, it's like your best players have to play better than their best player in the big games. And we didn't. Like, for myself, everybody, like, we didn't like show up when we had to show up. And that's just like, it is what it is. It's just hard to accept that, especially when we had such a big opportunity this year. And for me, I think will clearly win the championship now, which is just like so crappy to see, just knowing how much better we were than them this year. So I don't know. There's not too much I have to add on to that, like from that, unless you have specific questions. But yeah, it's just like very disappointing season again. More disappointing probably than past seasons, because of how like we've just been the best team for months. Even when we did lose, it's like we just had like stupid like slip ups, but we were still like the better team than everybody else. I would feel like.
Can I just say that Tours? So Tours is the team that Joe played in the semi. Traditionally, mm-hmm. the best team in France with the highest budget.
Yeah,
and
most titles and
Tours and Chaumont are also big rivals. Mm-hmm. And also Chaumont has lost the last like seven. Or been like either semis or in the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
7 or so years and lost.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah. So
that's another thing. Is like, okay, why is that the case? Like, something has to, you know.
Common denominator.
Questions have to get asked. I'm somebody like, man. At some point, what has to change? Like, something has to change. Like, I've only been here for 1 year though. But if it's the same thing every single season, like, what is it? I'm not saying I have the answer for that. I'm just saying, like, we got to solve something here. How do we get over the hump?
Mikey, you were about to say something. Sorry.
No, it resonates with me because I felt, like, a similar way last year. It was the first time that I had personally just been on a team that that had high expectations, high budget, and we dominated the league. I think we lost maybe one game. Maybe one game in the year. Yeah, we lost one match in the league. We lost four matches in Champions League total. Mm-hmm. So we lost like five matches all year. We won the cup. We didn't lose in the semis. And then we went to the final and lost in five. And like I had never been so disappointed in my career at all either. I think overseas there's just like so much sacrifice that goes into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That like, and like you said, it's 8.5 months and you're not going to school, you're not doing much else, and you're doing it for one reason, and that's to win. And then mm-hmm. you dominate all year long and you just don't know how many chances you're gonna get. Be on a team that can win. Like, even in, for me, it's like, I don't know how many chances I'll get anymore, even after this year. You know, like, a lot of people don't get more than one,
mm-hmm.
and not even one. And so, like, to lose opportunities like that, you just, they're super painful to lose.
Yeah.
And so, but I can add that, like, this year I felt so much different in the final. Like, I definitely feel like we had as a team and a lot of us experience that like we could, you can't really muster that up without going through it, you know, like there's no way to get there without going through it, and it's so valuable. Like you said, it comes down to experience a lot of times, especially in the playoffs. It's insane. And you see teams now, like in the NBA, that don't even care.
What NFL.
Like, yeah. And if, like, the Chiefs, they, all year long, weren't good. And then you get guys now, like, or even Kawhi when he was winning, when he was on load management. It's like LeBron's going into this to, like, as the seventh seed. And it's like he's dangerous because in the playoffs, like, he has experience. And so.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing it now more than ever because of how intellectual the games, like every sport has become.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know because I wasn't around back then, but I feel like it's in the 80s, 90s, it was definitely intellectual, but I felt like it was more of like a grinding, athletic, strong willpower, like less statistics based, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now and like game plans and like, I don't know, I just feel like high IQ is being valued more than ever, and experience is a big part of that.
There's a lot to like keep within like the team and myself that I'm like not going to go into detail about, but that's kind of like feeling of it all. And like you said, it's like, how many chances do you get at that? Especially with like a season like this, where it's like everything like seemed to be falling into place. You have like, you know, had the right pieces. We had guys that have won championships here before. Like, you felt like you had that kind of experience. And then, yeah, it was just like, there was definitely a difference though for me between playoffs and in regular season with our team.
It is a big difference, man. It's crazy.
The feeling, the confidence, everything was not the same. And you recognize that kind of afterwards, but it's tough to swallow. And it's just like, yeah, just disappointing season. Like, I'll be really honest. It's not, you don't sit here and like, you play for the playoffs at the end of the day. The entire season is to get into the playoffs, and then it's really to be able to win the championship. Besides that, like, there's not a whole lot else to be super satisfied with at that point. I mean,
can I ask you guys a question of setters? So obviously setters, I've come around, setters are the most important position. But my question to you is, setters are the most important, and obviously they touch the ball the most. But when it comes to, like you said, Joe, mentality, and the rest of your hitters, maybe not having the right mentality, or you not being a hitter, does that mean you have, how much of an effect do you actually have when that's the case as being the most important players? Like, do you feel helpless almost? Like, you could have the right mentality.
No. I mean, no, definitely not helpless. I mean, you got to make, like, it's setter's job to bring confidence and bring like the right energy into it. The thing is, in playoffs, everything is like, what's the word? Blown up a little bit. So the pressure, you feel the pressure way more. Like, so if it's new for a lot of these guys, like, all of a sudden, like, when your back's against the wall, it's like, how are you going to respond when you know, like, you know, you lose this baller here, or you lose this ball here, like, your season's over. Like, when you start thinking about that, and I think when you approach it in the playoffs, you realize everything's so much more glorified, I guess, like errors and mistakes, and like, where it's like, what you're, if you look at the sets, we lost so many sets by like 2 points here and there. It's like, then you can point out like small things here and there that made the difference of like why they won versus why you lost.
Dude, that's what, if you're listening to Mind the Game, that's what they were just talking about too. It's like JJ Redick and LeBron James, and they were just saying, they're just talking about the playoffs, and LeBron and JJ were, I mean, saying exactly that. They just said small things like in the playoffs actually really matter, and typically that's when you win or lose games. Whereas in the regular season, like, they don't make or break you, and they don't stand out as much.
Yeah.
But
guys are so much more dialed in, and coaches, the coaching comes into play significantly in playoffs. It's the adjustments, the ability to make adjustments. And also, not only the coaching, but the IQ of players in the playoffs, like you're talking about, Micah, and understanding that. And man, it's usually much harder to score in playoffs. The defenses, like, the block systems are a lot more tuned in and dialed up, and they spend a lot more time. Because if you're just playing one team over a full series, all they're doing is studying you and your team. And so everything is a lot more detailed with that. It's like, okay, how do you make adjustments as a team? And yeah, Tour's the best at that. I mean, their preparation, everything, you can tell they're the best at that in the league. But they've also been there, done that. They know what it takes to win a championship. And so you can see why that's the case, though, man. They put, like, you can just see from their preparation how they, like, when you go watch film and stuff, like, they got our guy. They got all the attackers, like, so dialed in. And their defensive systems are so much more sophisticated than I think the rest of the league is always. And so it's like, I think people can learn from that. I think that's the biggest thing, is I think you have to go and learn from that and take from that. I think the most successful teams always are so good at that. Like, you hear about the Patriots, man, they're pulling from they look at the top college teams. Okay, how do we go and pull from that and like pull from that? Them being successful with that, or learning from somebody not being successful. And I think like all those little small things and being able to learn from that is so valuable. And toward the team that we played in the semis, for me, is the best at that. Like they understand all that better than anybody else.
I think, Gage, to answer the question, I think at times I've felt helpless. Because you are kind of the middleman in some ways, where, I mean, you could just be off outside of 3 meters for an entire game and have hitters that are not at the time playing really well. And you're trying to find a solution. But there's like, it's our job. Our job is find solutions. And yet, like, you do. That's where I think learning this year, like Joe, like I've said before, something that I think Joe has always done a really good job of is being demanding of his, like, his teams around him. And I at times haven't been. And I think that that's where the setter can then gain control back, is like demanding them, if you are off the net, to like take responsible swings or to recycle, and like being on them.
But, wait, Micah. You're really choppy, you're really choppy. What were you saying?
I was just saying that I just heard, I don't know who said it, but like they were saying that the best coaches are like really, really good at demanding like things from their players. And yeah. Like I did a quick reflection. I it's not like that's all that matters in being a good coach, but a lot of the best coaches I've had were really good at demanding things from like from players and from everybody and themselves.
Yeah.
But maximizing potential. That's at the end of the day what the coach's
job
is to do. How do you get the most out of like what you have and what to deal with? And that's, when it comes down to it, that's really what the coach's job is to do.
True.
And so, yeah. No, in the best, like, usually the championship teams, top teams, most consistent, successful teams, their coaches are so good at that. You look at the top coaches, like no matter who you throw at them, they always figure out a way like to fit, to make this team good.
Yeah.
And you can be like set on like, oh, this is what we got to do. But it's like sometimes that's not what works. And that's not what's best for that group or that team.
Right.
And the best, I think the top coaches are so good at understanding that and being able to adjust. Even you know, coaches who have specific like way about doing stuff, sometimes they understand that they got to sacrifice a little bit for what's better for the group.
And that's what it is. Well, not much else to say. First off, bummer end for Joseph and I. Well, for me, you know, it's what it is. For Joe, bummer end. For Micah, huge congrats, man. That's super, super sick. I want to end this podcast on a super morbid tone. I know. Getting late over here. It can be a little damper. The weather's not so hot either. It's summer in France, so in the towns.
I just want to get back to the U.S. now, yeah.
And so now the waiting game. Joe's going to just sit in the closet for 11 days, and he's going to just wait for it and be reminded of his unfortunate ending. So that's how we handle things. I think it's a healthy way to handle things. But guess what, boys and girls? The summer comes on. Well, first of all, are you guys allowed? I think I'm allowed. Are you guys allowed to say what you guys are doing next year or no?
I'm staying here. I'm on a 2-year deal.
Okay, you said.
I don't know. They've been on me. They've been on me about it, but I mean, I don't know why.
Like, don't say anything.
Yeah, like I had like 2 interviews and. This guy's like, Michael, you can't say, and like all over me. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, then don't say it. Then don't say it. Yeah, I don't know. So for those listening out there,
is with that culture,
dude? I don't know. For me, for like we sign like you can sign December, January, and they'll tell you do not tell anybody, and they'll wait all the way till next year, like August, or maybe even later.
In November, they're going to announce it. The guy's been here crazy. For a month and a half.
It's crazy.
Can't tell anybody.
It's crazy. Like where you're going, if you're leaving, if you're staying, you can't say jack squat. Well, Joe knows he's had a 2-year. Joe's officially back, Shamar. Congrats, Joey. You know what? They pretty much announced that I'll be returning to my third season at Lunenburg as well.
Congrats, Gage.
And then Micah with the media will be all over his ass if we say anything. So we're not going to say anything for right now.
Dude, yeah, it's pretty obvious. I think I've said it. I'm sure I've even said it on here before. So
the slippage, that's okay. Do we have any Turkish listeners? Do you know of any listeners in Turkey that listen or no? Like I see the stats. Like,
I think probably.
There are some, but it's not like what are people coming to you after the game saying I watched it or anything. But if that's not the case, then don't worry, you're safe then. With that being said, we can talk really, really briefly before we wrap it up here about summer plans here. The tour is upon us. Also, make sure you guys go and click the link in our bio or the description of this video. Join us on tour, whether you want to come to camp, clinic, or event. If you're listening to us within America or in Canada, chances are we're near you at some point during the summer doing something. Slots are filling up quick, really quick.
Summer already filled up.
Places where, I'll be honest, I was like looking, I was like, all right, we'll see how this one does. Filling up quick. And I was like, that's awesome, which is super, super. Because we used to be in the first floor begging for people to come to our stuff.
Dude, we have a lot of really awesome coaches coming on board too. Yeah. If you guys go check out our Instagram, we have like a lot of good diversity and positions and experience. A lot of people you guys probably recognize. So, and Gage and I. Gage and I run the event. People don't understand that. Like, we bring in coaches, but Gage and I run the event. So,
and Gage runs warm up.
Gage always got the warm up.
Dude, I'm.
And anything against the kids.
Anytime. Gage's like, yeah, I got this job. I go to Joe. Yeah, I got this job. Don't worry about it. All right, Gage, go get him. You know. So we're literally, so once we step foot on American soil in about 11 days, we're pretty much on the move until when we come back to Europe on mid to early August. Like from there to there, there's very little stoppage in between. It's our biggest tour yet. We're super stoked. Micah will be doing Team USA stuff. Like, you want to briefly talk about that?
I mean, I don't know how much there is to say, but yeah, we will start here in a little bit. Our training block, and then we'll go to Vianel, and then I think before Vianel, they have to enter the Olympic roster.
Wait, before the last stop of Vianel, or like
I don't know exactly when they need to enter it, but I believe that when Vianel is done, it'll be, they'll know who the Olympic roster is. Those guys will probably train. Go to a training camp in Europe, I think in Italy. I'm not exactly sure where. And then go from there to France, to Paris for the Olympic Games. And so we'll see. We can make that roster. The other setters, I think, on the list are Micah, Josh Tuininga. Who else is on the VNL roster list?
Quinn Isaac? Andrew
Rowan?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But you know better than us.
Yeah, I should. Technically, I should.
On paper.
On paper, I should definitely know a lot more than you guys. In reality, who knows? But yeah, so it's a big summer for Team USA, big summer. For Mike. Me, I hope. Well, we'll see. And anyway, it's always a big summer. And then in the meantime, if there's any stops that I can make it to, depending on what happens in the USA gym, I'll be jumping in on some of those.
Yeah, man. Sevens. Super day. Super pumpy, man. It's a big summer in a lot of different ways. So we'll be cheering you on, brother. Brother. And for our listeners out there, we won't distract
Micah too much. Thanks, brother.
We won't distract Micah too much from his stuff, but maybe we can get a video or two.
Some
stuff. And then also, I think that's it. With that being said, guys.
We'll get some merch.
Yeah, about
international shipping now, too, is all live. And we have some sick new merch.
International shipping is live. Joey, we breezed over that really quick, but it is live. I know we have a lot of international listeners. Go on our website, atsum.net, or the link in the description. You can get your merch there. Support the boys, support the tour.
All the merch is super sick too. It's like you can wear it all the time and it's good quality.
So it matters, man. And then, again, if you want to sign up for anything, Cam Clinic or any of our
Allie Battenhorst for our Nebraska listeners. We just announced, and SC is coming to LA, so that's another one. We just announced that today. I just saw. So.
And many, many more.
It's cool to get her there.
Alrighty. Just remember, guys, King Hamley, Goddamn Kitchen has been another episode of Gentlemen by Out of System.